Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Ancient Magic by Alexandra Ivy, narrated by Elizabeth Russell. Chapter 1. Skye Claremont studied the brick building in front of her. Once upon a time, the Greenhouse Theater must have been an impressive sight. Consuming most of the city block, it had high arched windows on the upper floor and a massive marquee outlined with lights that jutted over the sidewalk. In the center of the building was a glassed-in box office framed by two sets of double doors with ornate handles. Even the roof was decorated with bronzed statues that peered down as if waiting for an invisible crowd to enter. Now, it was less impressive and more depressing. Even at a distance, she could see that the bricks were crumbling and the windows were covered by sheets of plywood that had been spray-painted by vandals. And not even good vandals. Just crappy initials and gang symbols. Skye heaved a sigh. The Greenhouse Theater looked depressed, she decided, as if it were feeling abandoned by the audiences who'd turned their attention to other entertainments. Maybe it was the gray October weather that was making it look sad, she acknowledged. It wasn't raining, but the clouds hung low in the sky, blocking out the afternoon sun and casting a shadow over New York City. Or maybe it was the empty lots that surrounded the building that emphasized an air of neglect. Whatever the case, this place had obviously seen better days. Turning her head, Skye glanced at the woman standing next to her. Maya Rosen appeared to be in her early 30s with elegant features that were highlighted rather than marred by the spidery web of scars that ran from her left ear down her jawline. Her eyes were a bright green, and her silky smooth black hair was chopped at her shoulders. Most people first meeting Maya assumed she was a successful businesswoman. And they would be partially right. She did own a wildly popular coffee shop called the Witch's Brew in Linden, New Jersey. But she'd passed her 30th birthday several decades ago. Like all mages, she'd stopped aging after her powers had fully matured. It was one of many bonuses to possessing the wild magic that flowed in their blood. Not that Skye had ever been concerned about aging. At the age of 27, she still looked like a teenager with her mane of pale corkscrew curls that bounced around her heart-shaped face and deep dimples. It didn't help that she chose her clothes for comfort, not style. Today, she'd pulled on a pair of sweatpants and a fuzzy sweater with the Cookie Monster on the front to combat the chilly air. It was only her black eyes that were framed with long lashes that warned she wasn't as young and innocent as she appeared. Her gaze had unnerved some of the most powerful demons, as well as a vampire or two. Maya had once told her that people could sense the mystic powers that bubbled inside her.
"You're sure this is the place?"
Skye asked her companion, her voice barely above a whisper. Despite the fact they were in Upper Manhattan, the sounds of traffic and pedestrians were muffled, as if this neighborhood was shrouded from the city that hummed with an electric excitement just a few blocks away. Maya grimaced before touching her temple. "According to the voice in my head." Skye wasn't reassured. She'd been taken in by Maya almost 5 years ago when she'd wandered into the Witch's Brew in search of a job. The older woman was not only one of the most powerful mages that Skye had ever encountered, but she was also one of the rare few who wasn't under the rule of a vampire. Vampires were rare. Only the leeches knew the exact number. But they owned the Gyres, where the last of the magic in the world lingered. It was rumored that the hotspots were the ancient lairs of dragons who'd left the world eons ago. Not that it mattered. However the Gyres had been created, they offered demons the ability to touch their primeval powers. And since the vampires controlled the Gyres, they controlled the demons. Thankfully for Skye, mages didn't depend on the Gyres for their magic. It flowed through their blood. And while her magic might be amped by the power that hummed in the air and thundered beneath her feet, she had no desire to be the slave of a vampire. Or a demon. Not again. But as Maya had warned her, independence had a price. For Maya, it was the mysterious benefactor. Skye didn't know much about the elusive creature. It never visited the Witch's Brew or contacted Maya by traditional means. Instead, it spoke directly into the older woman's mind. And while the benefactor surrounded them in an aura that somehow kept away the leeches, it occasionally demanded they perform small tasks. Like today.
So what you're saying is that the benefactor placed an invisible GPS in your head, Skye teased, trying to ease the tension that had been building since they entered the city.
Something like that.
And I thought I was weird.
You are, Maya assured her.
True, Skye agreed.
Unlike her companion, or Perry Sanguis, another mage that Maya had taken in, Skye didn't have enormous magic. She couldn't brew potions like Maya or call on long-lost powers like Perry. But she was the most unique of all mages. A seer. A rare gift that did nothing to help in their current circumstances, she acknowledged as she glanced back at the theater.
The place looks empty. What now?
I guess we go inside. Maya squared her shoulders before crossing the road and heading toward the empty lot next to the building. Skye struggled to match her friend's long strides. Just one of many problems for a short girl.
Maybe we should give Perry a call, she suggested.
It's her day off. It was Sunday and the coffee shop was closed, meaning Perry would be spending the day with her mate, Valen, the cabal leader of the East Coast, in his lair near Central Park. A short taxi ride away.
Yeah, but she's the muscle of our crew, Skye muttered.
Maya arched a brow. What am I?
The brains.
Debatable. Maya halted in front of a rusty side door propped open a few inches by a broken brick. She turned her head to send Skye a wry smile.
You, however, are most certainly the heart.
Skye leaned forward to peer through the narrow crack.
Very nice, but right now I'd prefer some muscle.
Maya paused, as if communicating with the voice in her head. Then she grimaced.
We can't wait. It has to be now.
Okay, then.
Skye grabbed the handle and pulled the door wide enough for them to enter.
Are you ready?
No,
Maya muttered, even as she squeezed through the opening. Skye quickly followed, glancing around the narrow hallway. Directly ahead of them, an arched opening led to the main auditorium that was lined with rows of seats. To the left, the hallway disappeared into the shadowed wings of the stage, and to the right, a wide staircase curved up to the mezzanine. Skye moved to peer into the auditorium, only to be halted as Maya grabbed her arm in a tight grip.
We're not alone.
Skye instantly froze. One of Maya's many talents was the ability to sense the presence of demons.
How many? Skye whispered.
5. 3 goblins and 2 fairies.
In ancient times, the demons openly roamed the world. But as the magic had faded, they'd been forced to hide among the humans, usually gathering in the gyres, where they could still access their diluted powers, even if it did mean bending the knee to a vampire.
Where?
Skye asked. Before Maya could answer, they heard the crunch of footsteps just outside the door. With a startled glance, they scurried forward, jogging up the staircase to disappear in the gloom. Once on the mezzanine, Maya took the lead, bending over as she headed toward the low wall at the front of the overhang. Skye crab-walked behind her, pressing her side against the wall before she cautiously peeked over the edge. Below her, the auditorium fanned upward in a half-circle facing toward the wide stage. The chairs remained intact, but the wallpaper was peeling and the ornate cornices and molding had long ago lost their gilding. Overhead, there was a large chandelier that someone had tried to yank out, cracking the plaster and leaving it at a drunken angle. But it didn't look as if it was going to collapse on her head in the next few minutes. The only good news since Maya had announced they were traveling to the city.
She turned her attention to the demons seated in the front rows, as if waiting for a show to start. The three goblins looked remarkably alike. All were broad and bald and bulging with muscles. All were wearing jeans with gray hoodies. And of course, all of them were surrounded by a red glow that marked them as demons. At least to those who possessed the magic to see the aura. The two fairies, on the other hand, were slender with long reddish hair and delicate features. They wore the same hoodies as if it was a group thing, but the glow around them was green instead of red. Even from a distance, Skye could tell that none of them had particularly strong auras, revealing their blood had been diluted with humans over the centuries, and that they were low on the demon social scale. It didn't mean, however, they weren't dangerous. As if to emphasize the point, the group of demons turned toward the stage as a large form suddenly appeared from the wings. He was a goblin with the usual muscular body, and like the others, he'd shaved his head and was casually attired. But his aura was twice as bright as the others, warning Skye that he came from a family with considerable power. "You're late," one of the goblins from below groused.
"Fuck off, Gunther," the man on stage retorted. "I'm here now."
Skye blinked. Someone was grouchy. One of the goblins, presumably Gunther, rose to his feet, his hands on his hips.
"Then let's get this over with. Why are we here?"
The man on stage, who was the obvious leader, glared down at him.
"Did you do a sweep of the building?"
"Course we did. We're a professional crew."
"So you keep saying."
"We weren't the ones who were an hour late,"
Gunther snapped, glancing around the empty theater.
"I don't like being out in the daylight. Too many eyes watching."
The leader scowled, as if he wasn't used to being chided.
"You'll be out when I tell you to be out. I'm the one paying the bills."
"But you aren't, are you?"
The scowl deepened.
"Aren't what?"
"Paying the bills," Gunther groused. "You keep promising that we're going to be living large, but so far we're out there risking our asses with nothing to show for it."
"You'll get what's coming to you."
An ugly smile curved the male's lips. Gunther snorted.
"When?"
"Soon."
"The bill is adding up. Are you sure you're going to have enough money to cover it?"
"I told you, you'll get paid."
"Yeah, well, it had better be in the next couple of days."
The demon cupped his hand between his legs.
"My bitch needs some new bling, or her pretty mouth isn't going to be wrapped around my cock. And then I'm going to get real fussy real quick."
Maya and Skye shared a glance of pure disgust as the demons obediently laughed at Gunther's crude joke. The man on stage, however, appeared less amused.
"If you are unhappy with the situation, I can find another crew."
The leader deliberately paused, flicking his hard gaze toward the gathered demons.
"Better yet, I could ask your buddies if they want to choose a new leader. I'm betting they'll decide to get rid of you. It's a better option than walking away with nothing after all their hard work. What would you bet?"
Gunther shuffled his feet, smart enough to back down from the threat.
"Chillax, dude," he grumbled. "If we're not going to get paid, then why did you call us here?"
The leader folded his arms over his chest.
"I need someone who isn't a member of your crew to perform a separate task."
"What's my cut of the pay?"
"That's between you and whoever you hire, but I have rules."
"What rules?"
"If he gets caught or squeals about our extracurricular activity, you all die."
There was a sudden burst of chatter between the gathered crew. Gunther ignored them.
"Caught by who?"
"Anyone."
"That's a little vague."
"Make sure they don't get caught."
Gunther hesitated. Was he debating whether or not to accept the responsibility for an outside contractor?
Maybe, but he wasn't going to back down. "Okay, but it's going to cost more," he abruptly warned. "Say, double our normal rate?"
"Whatever," the leader shrugged.
put it on my bill.
Gunther visibly jerked, caught off guard by the male's ready agreement to his demands.
Sky wasn't.
The demon on the stage possessed a cold brutality she'd sensed before. He would kill the entire crew once they'd completed the job. And he would kill them without remorse. Like a snake striking an enemy and slithering past the corpse.
Fine, he forced out the word. Anything else?
The leader stepped forward, running a dismissive glance over the demons sprawled in the front seats.
Is this your entire crew?
No, I have four others. They're on a job.
The male clicked his tongue, as if disappointed with the answer.
Next time I call for a meeting, I want them all here.
Why?
Because I said so. That's the only explanation you need.
Gunther cleared his throat, as if he was beginning to wonder why the male would want them all gathered in one spot.
Sky could have told him it was so it would be easier to kill them. About that money you owe us.
Shut up!
The leader abruptly tilted back his head, sucking in a deep breath.
There's someone here. Humans.
He released a feral growl, glaring at Gunther.
You said you searched the place.
I did. If there's someone here, they must have snuck in while we were waiting for you.
Find them, the leader snapped. No one gets out of here.
Maya grasped Skye's arm, dragging her toward the back of the mezzanine. Below them, the bellows of angry demons echoed through the air, reverberating against the domed ceiling as they charged in pursuit.
Stay close, Maya commanded as she released her grip on Skye and reached into the purse slung over one shoulder.
Skye knew that her friend would have at least a few bottles of potions stashed in the leather satchel. A good mage never left home without them. Skye, on the other hand, touched the silver bracelet that encircled her wrist. The various charms that dangled from the delicate chain weren't for decoration. She used them to store extra doses of magic. Extra doses that were going to be handy-dandy in the next few minutes. Reaching the stairs, they headed downward only to halt as one of the goblins appeared at the bottom.
They're here!
The demon managed to call out before Maya tossed a slender glass tube in his direction. The male held up his arms, protecting his face as the thin glass shattered and a massive explosion sent him flying backward. He roared in fury as he hurtled down the hallway and smashed into the far wall. The force was enough to knock him unconscious, and Maya didn't hesitate as she continued down the staircase. Sky scurried behind her. They had to get out of the theater before their escape was cut off. They were halfway down the steps when Sky felt a familiar flare of magic spread through her. A vision. Damn it, now wasn't a good time. Not that any time was good, but this was spectacularly bad. Sadly, she'd learned a long time ago it was futile to try to suppress them, no matter how unwelcome they might be. You might as well try to halt a volcano from erupting. Besides, Maya was still holding her hand. The personal contact meant that the vision was more than likely connected to her friend. Gritting her teeth, Sky grunted as she was rudely blinded by her powers, and the image of Maya lying dead at the bottom of the staircase seared through her mind. There was a bleeding bullet hole directly in the middle of her forehead, and her eyes were wide open, staring sightlessly at the demon standing over her.
No, Maya!
Sky wrapped her arm around her friend's waist, yanking her to a halt. They stumbled, falling backward at the same moment that a gunshot boomed from the hallway and a bullet ripped through the exact spot where they'd been standing. Maya released a shaky breath, turning her head to send Sky a glance of gratitude, despite the fact that the older woman had made Sky swear never to share visions she might have of Maya or Perry while they all lived at the Witch's Brew. Sky understood Maya's rule. Knowing the future without context was worthless, and Sky had always been happy that she had no ability to see her own destiny. But desperate times called for desperate measures, and this was about as desperate as it could get.
I don't suppose the benefactor is whispering an escape plan in your head? Sky demanded, scrambling back up the stairs.
Maya once again reached into her purse and pulled out a vial. She tossed it over her shoulder without looking back. Nope.
Typical.
Sky clenched her muscles as she prepared for another explosion. Instead, a cloud of smoke filled the air and she could hear demons choking from the hallway. The potion had given them a brief opportunity to escape. If only they could find a way out of the building. Back in the mezzanine, Maya headed directly toward the windows. They would have to bust through the plywood, but...
Stop!
Sky's thoughts were shattered as the male voice echoed from the other side of the mezzanine. Turning her head, she watched the two fairies leap over the low wall and race toward them. Sky touched a charm on her bracelet and whispered a spell, but even as the magic pulsed in her blood, the closest fairy tossed a dagger. Sky dodged to the side, but the blade was enchanted. Curving with lethal precision, it headed straight for her heart. Sky released a hasty spell designed to create a bubble of protection. It deflected the knife far enough to avoid a killing blow, but the blade managed to slice through her upper arm. Maya muttered in frustration, throwing another vial. It wasn't aimed at the advancing males, but instead it hit at their feet, smashing against the warped floorboards. There was a loud sizzle before flames abruptly appeared, twirling like tiny tornadoes as they headed directly toward the advancing males. The fairies shouted in fear, diving back over the edge.
Are you okay?
Maya rasped, turning to inspect the wound on Sky's arm.
I'll be fine, she assured her friend, trying to ignore the throbbing pain. Let's just get out of here.
Good plan. Maya turned back toward the windows, lifting her hand as she released a pulse of magic. It smacked against the plywood, splintering one in half. Not enough to allow them to squeeze through, but Sky was hoping that it weakened the wood enough that they should be able to physically wrench it off. They rushed forward, Sky holding her hand over the wound that seeped blood down her arm. She would worry about healing the cut later. Right now, nothing mattered but fleeing. Unfortunately, there were still five demons determined to prevent them from accomplishing their goal. On cue, the leader roared his way up the stairs, his aura flaring with a brilliant crimson as he barreled directly toward them. Maya whirled to face him, but even as she reached into her purse, the male was swinging his meaty fist, catching Maya directly on the chin. The mage soared backward, slamming into plywood that collapsed beneath the impact. With a low cry, Maya flew through the broken window and down to the street below. Sky lunged forward, terrified her friend was seriously hurt. Mages were far more durable than humans, but they weren't immortal. She'd managed only a few steps when a massive hand grabbed her by her nape and lifted her off her feet. She struggled to glance over her shoulder to see the demon who was carrying her forward. The instinctive turn of her head saved her nose from being busted as he slammed her face first against the wall.
Who are you?
The leader snarled, ignoring the white cloud of plaster that floated from the ceiling to layer them in a fine powder.
Why did you follow me?
Sky ignored the pain that burst through her skull as it connected with the wall. She also ignored the male who continued to slam her into the wall as he asked the same question over and over. Her ability to glimpse the future or to sense emotions wasn't much help during a fight. And while she had a few spells, they weren't potent enough to combat a full-grown goblin. Thankfully, she had one other skill, a skill she'd discovered by accident and rarely used. Reaching up, she pressed her hand against the fingers that were currently digging into her neck. Her magic, including her visions, always worked best when she was touching someone. She assumed it had something to do with the sheer intimacy of her powers. Now that she closed her eyes, blocking out the demon who continued to shout at her for answers, the acrid stench of flames, the plaster dust floating in the air, the splintering pain in her head, and the fear that Maya might be injured. Then, focusing her thoughts on the feel of his fingers beneath her hand, she released a tendril of magic, directing it to crawl up his arm and along the broad width of his shoulder. The demon stiffened as her magic reached his neck and arrowed upward. Did he feel her powers moving through his body? Or was he tired of smashing her into the wall? Nah, he couldn't be tired. Not when he was obviously getting pleasure from her pain. Which meant he sensed the danger. Realizing she had to hurry, Skye clenched her teeth and concentrated on the magic, urging it to surround his mind in a web of shimmering strands.
What the fuck? Get out of my head!
The male abruptly released her, allowing her to drop to the ground as he tried to shake off her lingering touch. It was too late. Skye had a firm grip on his mind, her magic tightening and tightening until the demon screamed in agony.
Stop! You bitch! Stop!
With a moan, the demon fell to the floor, clutching his head in his hands. Skye could have destroyed him. Just another squeeze and his mind would have become mush. Instead, she broke the connection between them and leaped through the window. Chapter 2. It wasn't easy to attract attention in New York City. Not when there was a plethora of pedestrians who clogged the streets with styles that went beyond flamboyant. Skye had seen a man stroll stark naked through Times Square without getting a second glance. But not even the jaded citizens of the Big Apple could hide their interest as Skye and Maya limped their way into Penn Station. They certainly had a zombie vibe going on. It might have been their torn clothing, tangled hair, and layers of dust and plaster that clung to them. Or the blood that dripped from Skye's arm. Or Maya's swollen eye where she'd slammed through the plywood and hit the pavement two stories below. Or perhaps it was the grim expressions on their faces that warned the world they weren't in the mood to, well, anything, really. Unless it included a hot bath and a bottle of aspirin. Whatever the cause, they were given plenty of space as they settled in the train that whisked them to New Jersey. Neither spoke during the 30-minute ride. Skye was too relieved that they'd escaped alive, while Maya no doubt brooded on the reason the benefactor had sent them to the stupid theater in the first place. Hobbling off the train in Linden, they crossed the parking lot and zigzagged their way through the narrow streets, backtracking more than once. Skye assumed that Maya was making sure they weren't being followed. No doubt a wise precaution, but Skye wasn't in the mood to be wise. Or cautious. She was cold, exhausted, and her arm hurt like a bitch. Time to get home. At last, they turned onto the block where they could see the neon sign stuck over the sidewalk with a coffee cup in the center of a witch's hat. The witch's brew. Thank goodness. Concentrating on placing one foot in front of the other, Skye jumped in surprise as a man abruptly appeared from seemingly nowhere. Instinctively, she touched a charm on her bracelet, absorbing the magic. Tired or not, she was ready to fight off an attack. It wasn't until he stepped closer that she breathed a sigh of relief. Joe was a regular fixture in the area. She didn't know if he had a home nearby or stayed in the local shelter, but he was always hanging around, usually dressed in a velour tracksuit with a fishing hat stuck on his head. His age was indeterminate behind his bushy beard, but she suspected that he was older than she'd first assumed. "Hey, Joe," she murmured. The man leaned toward them, his eyes nearly hidden beneath his hat.
"You look like you rolled in the sewers. Ugh, you smell even worse."
Skye managed a weary smile. Joe enjoyed calling out insults whenever they passed. She honestly preferred it to the creepy whistles and catcalls that some men thought were flattering. Without warning, Maya glared at the harmless man.
"Not now,"
Joe snorted.
"You know what? The smell of you would be an insult to the sewers. You!"
Maya pointed a finger in the man's face.
"Not now."
"Maya," Skye protested as they limped past Joe. "He's just teasing."
"I don't trust him."
Skye frowned. Since last summer, Maya had grown increasingly suspicious of Joe.
"You keep saying that, but I don't understand why not. He's been hanging around here forever."
Maya's features pinched into a sour expression.
"He's more."
"More what?"
I don't know, the older woman muttered.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?